oh my God, a 1990 C2964 manual on Bring a Trailer? Everybody wants this car. Or do they? We're going to find out right now. Yep, you guys know what that sound means. It means it's time for a brand new edition of the Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick, coming to you from the downtown Las Vegas Container Park here in downtown Las Vegas, along with my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco in a yet-to-be-named studio. We are looking at you guys, the Nerd Herd, to help us with that. How are you, Michael Deeb?
I'm good.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Well, yeah, let's really elaborate on that. Glad awesome. To hear it. Didn't actually care, neither does any of the audience, because they're here to find out what the most interesting car of the day is. Deep, if you guys are new to the show, maybe you discovered the Bid Nerds on one of the many, many platforms that we are now being hosted. We are on Spotify. We are on Amazon. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are in all the places that podcasts go. So a lot of new members of the Nerd Herd are joining us. So now you have something to say.
Well, I was just going to say, we're not on the Hallmark Channel, that's for sure.
Are there any podcasts on the Hallmark Channel?
No, all the but places I'm the just saying, you said we're everywhere, but I'm like, whoa, we're not everywhere. We're not on the Hallmark Channel, that's for sure.
I mean, we could get some fake snowflakes. This is the time of year when they make those movies. My wife loves them damn things.
Could you and I fake cry at the end of every show?
Like, well, we would need to.
Thank you, Jesus.
One
for
of us would need
us.
Like neither one of us is a rich douchebag. We're douchebags, but we're not rich douchebags. So we would need to have like Rami come on here, and like you're supposed to marry Rami, but then you meet me, a country boy who has nothing, and it turns out that I am a millionaire, and then you know, fake snow. Look, when that time of year, I just like. Just before Thanksgiving, my wife subscribes just to the Hallmark Channel. Like, they have a package. Apparently, you can do this. You can pay.
I love Rochelle. She's the best.
And I come home, and it's just like just an endless loop of these stupid things. Right now, it's Love Boat, right? It's summertime, so it's just nothing but Love Boat. I don't know. Whatever.
Hasn't she watched them all yet?
Yeah, with the Love Boat or the Hallmark?
Yeah.
The Love Boat, there's like 40 seasons of that thing. I had no idea. It's like, oh my God. Vicky, remember Captain Steubing's daughter? Freaks me the fuck out because she looks just like my mom. Like, freaks me the F out. If my mom were, you know, 15 or something like that, that it's just like, that woman is, that has to be, that chick has to be a, like related to me.
Two quick things, and the show's already like way off rails. One, I would love it if somebody called us rich douchebags on the comments, and you and I would remark like, "Did you call us rich?"
Right.
And then Ace Ventura goes to the party for the wealthy guy, and the guy who answers the door is wearing like a formal coat with like shoulder pads, and he's standing there, and he goes, "Captain Steubing." He goes, "How are the Doc and Gopher?" One of my favorite lines from that movie. He just walks right by the guy.
That Gopher anyway. Guy became a senator. How the heck did that happen? Maybe we'll be senators one day. All right, if you're new to this channel and you're like, "What exactly are these two yahoos talking about?" You're into enthusiast cars.
Yeah.
You're hanging out, you're always looking at Bring a Trailer and Cars and Bids and kind of like dream shopping, or maybe you're actually shopping for an enthusiast car or whatever.
Yeah, good
and
luck.
You've gotten hooked on it like we are. It's a drug. What we do is we dig through all these auction platforms. We find what we think is the most interesting car of the day, and we're always right about that, and that's about the only thing that we're right about. Because what we do is we have a conversation about that car, and then we make a prediction as to what we think will be the results of that particular car's auction. And then at the end of the show, so it's important that you stick around, we actually show you what happened. We reconcile our incorrect bids, our incorrect predictions with the actual results of the auction. And you can play along. It's just like The Price is Right. You get to put your bid down in the comments below. And instead of bidding and guessing the price of a washer and dryer, you're guessing what the auction results will be for a really cool enthusiast car. And so, Michael Deeb, just before we get to that, shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. If you have a classic Porsche and you're looking for parts for it, give them a call. Let them know that the Bid Nerd sent you. because they've got the parts for your car. And then also, if you want to avoid all this auction hassle, if you're looking for a classic Porsche, give Steve a call, and he will find you the Porsche Classic you were looking for. All right, Michael Deeb, what is today's most interesting car of the day? Looks like a car that Gotten Classic would actually carry.
They would. I mean, if they get their hands on one. These cars are so hard to find. What we are talking about, JP, is a 1990 Porsche 911 Carrera 2 Coupe 5-speed. This car has almost no options on it, JP, but it's low miles, it's largely accident-free, and it's available out of Happy Valley, Oregon, offered on Bring a Trailer, showing just 26,000 original miles. JP, there's really not a lot to say about this car. It's just a no-nonsense C2 coupe with a stick that hasn't been turned into a resto mod by Singer or any number of wannabe singers that are in the marketplace today. It's not like they made a ton of 964s to begin with, but boy, a big chunk of the available cars in the secondary market in the United States have been turned into people's overpriced fantasies. And so to find a low mileage, unmolested example is now a bit of a damn unicorn, JP. So I thought we should take, you know, somewhat of a deep dive into this particular car and then guess how bonkers the final price might wind up being. Now, JP, you taught me this because I didn't really know 964s when I met you flipping 5-6 years ago. 6 years ago. Isn't that crazy? We're old friends now. But help me out on this if I get it wrong. The distinguishing things about the early versions, the 89, 90s, and 91s versus the later versions, which are 92s, 93s, 94s of the 964 generation, first of all, are the standard 16-inch D90 wheels, the mirrors that look like they came off a G-body because they came off a G-body, and the fact that the engine is sealed with a liquid gasket and not a cork or some other synthetic material gasket like the later cars do. So like the mirrors and the wheels are the things that you can see, and then the gasket is the thing that you can't see. But those are really the big differences between the two cars. Is that fair to say, or is there one or two other things you would throw onto that list to differentiate the early versions versus the later versions of the car?
No, I mean, that's it. It's the dot one, the dot two is just the gasket and some of the little trim stuff, but pretty much the same darn car. Yeah.
So here we have a classic 90. If it were an 89, JP, it would be all-wheel drive, right? You taught me that one, too.
It would be all-wheel drive, and it would have no airbag. It would have the four-prong steering wheel.
Oh, cool. See, I knew you. You're full. You're chock full of this stuff. So really cool car. Not a ton of options. It's interesting. In the first paragraph on BAT, they say it has a limited slip differential, but on the parts list and on the sticker under the hood that does not show option 220, which would be the limited slip differential. Mm-hmm. And I am 1,000% sure that these cars did not come with an LSD as standard equipment. So BAT got that wrong. And as a nerd, it's our job to point out that they effed up. Guards red, black interior, classic look. Again, not a sporty build because it doesn't have 17-inch wheels or limited slip differential. But just a looker in every way. I actually, JP, I might be in the minority here, but I actually think 911 coupes with a rear wing look, with a rear window wiper look cool. Not that the wiper that you really need it. I mean, obviously if it's raining out, it could come in handy, but from a functional standpoint, it's absolutely unnecessary. But from an accessory standpoint, I just think it looks cool on the back of the car. And again, I might be in the minority, but I'm okay with that. Books and records are here. I think it's just a couple owner car. There's on the passenger side rear fender, there's a pretty good crease. It looks like somebody might have hit the car pretty hard with like a door or something. It doesn't look like the car was in an accident, but they just touched it up and they did kind of a hack job on it. I will go out on a limb, and despite this car not being special in any way except for the mileage, I would say that this is still probably an investment-grade car because of the mileage, and that sometime in the future, one of the owners of this car will probably repaint that panel and smooth out that crease that's in there. But other than that, I like this car. I would love to own this thing, and it started getting me thinking, like, man, would I be happier in a 964 than I would in my current wide-body chiffon car? I bought my chiffon car thinking it would be my forever 911, but you know how that goes. I'm not even 3 months into ownership, and I'm like, ooh, 964s, coilovers, and my eyes start getting all spirally. So, JP, I send back to you this sort of basic bitch Guards Red C2 coupe and tell you, As before we even get into the numbers, I think this car could break the bank just because, for all the reasons I previously stated. What do you like about it and what don't you like about it? Take it away.
Well, I'm totally with you that this car has a ton of potential, but, you know, as always, it's always in these little details. It's the red flags are rarely glaring, right? They're usually not like, oh, look at this. This thing's wrong. Unless you're looking at a car in P-Car Market or something like that. They've got problems all the time.
Yeah.
So does the ad say that the LSD you were talking about was factory, or did they say it had an aftermarket LSD? Because it's possible that the car could have an aftermarket LSD, because looking at this sticker, you're absolutely right. There's no 220.
So the second sentence of the listing says equipment includes 16-inch design 90 wheels, comma, a limited slip differential, comma, and it goes on and on, sunroof, cruise control, all the things that would be standard equipment. So
all those things that could be standard equipment, but it is possible that they could have an aftermarket, although usually BAT is good at distinguishing the difference. The thing that makes me tweak here is, have you ever seen a crooked build sheet sticker on the underside of the hood?
God dang, that's a good question.
I've never seen one, ever.
Not as glaringly obvious as that one right there. And I can tell you this, John, and this is not a secret. Our favorite company, Carbone, they'll make you a sticker. If your sticker came off, or like the body shop had to repaint your car, Carbone will sort of, on the down low, print you a sticker with everything you want on it, and send it to you, and you could sort of reaffix the factory sticker, even though it's not factory and it's not technically authorized, but you could fake that sticker. But man, if you did that, you better put it on right.
What the heck is wrong with whoever put that? Was the guy drinking some Spaten, some German beer, some Hefeweizen, and just like, put the sticker all sideways. You look underneath the hood, I don't see any evidence of a front impact or any, you know, weird welds or anything like that. So it just makes me go, what the hell? VIN number and say that it does have an LSD, but then, like you said, maybe it's a hood from a different car. Maybe the original hood got bent up or something. I don't know.
No, I think – so here's the thing, JP. I actually think – and I'm really going from memory here, and it's been a minute. I actually think that the cars are delivered, and at the port – these lot guys come down and they grab a thing of paper, and there's a bunch of stickers on the car, and they take one of those stickers and they put them with the books, and the dealership is supposed to take that sticker and actually fix it in your books. But the other one of that sticker that's an exact replica, I think, is done at the port, where a guy slaps it into the roof of the car. And my guess is that was just somebody's first sticker of the day, and they were just like, the coffee hadn't kicked in yet, and they just missed it. I think it's a whiff, and I think it was done at the port. That certainly would not have left Germany like that, but I actually don't think the stickers go into the hoods in Germany. I think they go in either New Jersey or in Long Beach. So anyways, that's my take, but it's unsubstantiated. I'm really going from memory. I think that's how it goes.
Well, and this is why BAT auctions, like, how many times have people asked you, like, why wouldn't you just go on eBay? Why this BAT thing, right? A lot of people just have no idea that what the difference is. And the specific difference between these enthusiast car auctions and something like BAT, where you can buy a car, eBay, is that there are community comments, right? You can, the community gets in and parses this car for better or worse. You've had personal experience where they've just unnecessarily, you know, been nitpicky, and it can be unbelievably annoying. This car, it's really weird to me, this whole thing. Like, would I really make a big deal about an option sticker being crooked? I would probably be willing to accept your take if the ad for the car didn't say that it had an option that it doesn't have. It's like unnecessarily screwing up this whole auction lot, to me, is now in question, because we have these two unbelievably contradictory and glaring issues. And it's odd to me that, just glancing at the comments, that no one has mentioned this yet. Now, it's early in the auction.
But it's not early in the auction, JP. This car closes in 2 days. And I, as you were talking, I was going to say, isn't it amazing that with all the damn, you know,
look, they're
armchair
dickheads.
Quarterbacks.
They're dickheads out there in the community. They went after your car for the stupidest ish, and it was everything. Like, you, there were no discrepancies in your ad. Every objection that was brought up was overcome with people
logic.
With reputations and pictures and video, and here's all the things why all these stupid people were nitpicking about these dumb little things, and that yet here is an example of something that's like, what the hell? Why is no one noticing this? Hello?
Yeah.
And it's just over their heads. Sometimes it makes me
and
really wonder.
And the limited slip differential is like a $1,500 part, and it costs almost $1,500 to have it put in. I mean, it's like, it's not like you're just adding a new lip spoiler. Like,
it's
an involved problem.
And it's a big difference. A factory LSD is a fantastic, and it's all, I mean, dude, it's almost making this thing, I mean, this car is very similar to what an RSA, you know, the American version of the 964 RS was. I mean, at the time, it's always, we talk about this all the time when we talk about, like, the limited 964s. RSAs were the least expensive car in the showroom. It was the least expensive 911. They were like 60 grand because they just didn't have any options. Whereas, you know, my car, my 964 is a convertible. You know, I have a convertible 964 C4.
All-wheel drive.
That was the most expensive car. And now it's the least expensive version of the 964 you can get, right? That's hilarious, other than maybe a Tektronik. So it's funny how things change, but here it is. This car is very simple. I mean, it has the wing that goes up and down. Let's skip this weird discrepancy and just go to the car.
Yeah.
Beautiful car.
The
other thing is those weird gashes on, like, that you mentioned on the fenders and stuff, like, they're just terribly repaired. Those things could be easily fixed with not a lot of money, and just now all of a sudden not a question. But anyways, this car does, other than these pretty big glaring issues, seem like an honest car. So if we could somehow get answers to these questions, then maybe we could move on and go, hey, this car really does have the potential to be something. Low mileage, basic bitch 964 is what most people want.
Oh my God, you know, totally.
Yeah, I mean, geez, throw some coilovers on this thing, throw some cup ones, make it RW height, and now you have one of the best, you know, the car, you're sitting there going, oh, do I really want my wide body? If you had to pick one car, look, I own a 964 and I own, you know, an 86, which is basically the same car you have. Looks completely different, of course. But essentially, a a 915 transmission versus a G50 is a big difference. Power steering, no power steering, big difference. The drivability of a 964 in some place like San Francisco, having driven my backdated, lowered, slammed, 86, it's not pleasant driving around through the city. Whereas a 964, no problem. I totally should have driven my 964 instead of my backdated car to live to call. So I if you were an idiot and said, all right, I'm getting rid of my 491 to get a clean 964, I'd be like, yeah, that actually makes sense if you're just going to do one car. All that said, what's it going to cost you if you wanted to do that?
All right, JP, so our car is sitting at $51,500. And listen, 964 prices have gone crazy. If this car were a different shade of red, I would say it would bring $119,000. But I think the fact that it's guard red, and it's got that ding in the paint, which they really didn't address well, I think that's going to cost them about 10 grand. So I say $109,000. But look, if this car goes for 130, I also wouldn't be surprised. But I think $109,000 in today's market is a fair price for this car. The low miles, 26,000 miles, and the fact that it's up in Oregon, I think it's going to help drive the sale. So I'm going to go $109,000 and send it back to you, JP. Where are you going to come in at?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take, I'm just going to be, I was going to say 110. This isn't just a park $1,000 over yours. That was actually my number. I think this thing's going to easily beat $100,000 with the low miles, even with the weird questions, even with the couple of scrapes. I mean, anybody that's seriously considering this car is going to look at the miles and overall condition. The thing's in great condition other than those couple of scratches. Those couple of scratches could easily be taken care of with a few thousand dollars worth of, paintwork from a specialist that knows how to deal with those things. You don't need to repaint this car. You know, it's pretty much ready to go. Leave it as it is, and you know, save it as a collector, or hopefully somebody buys this to drive it as a car that they know. We haven't gone through like how much maintenance this car has had, because a lot of times people are like, oh, low mileage cars, that's great. Well, those gaskets that, you know, a lot of times those are problems. They're going to, how many, does this car have any leaks? Does this car have the camshaft seals replaced? Blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of things that kind of are a problem when these cars have low miles and need that attention. So I don't think you're going to get away with not having to maintain it because it has low miles. I think in some respects you might, like our friend Brennan here in Las Vegas, he has a white on black and tan 964 that's immaculate. And he took it to our friends at Godin Classic and had it, you know, refurbished, all the details done. That car has, I think, 100+ thousand miles on it. But it's fresh, ready to go. I would feel totally comfortable getting into that car and driving it and probably not have to do anything to it for 50,000 miles. Whereas this car, you're going to have some heavy maintenance that are going to pop up with this few miles. Something's going to pop up sooner than later. These things need to be driven. So account for a good $20,000, $30,000 within the next, you know, 10,000 miles if you drive it regularly.
Sign me up for those problems.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I mean, right. Yeah. So, but you know, Brandon's asking 130. I don't know if he's going to get that for his car. I'd be kind of shocked if he does. Maybe
how many miles
are
on his?
It's like 110 or something like that. Or maybe it's 90. I don't know. I thought it was over 100,000 miles, but it's not low miles like this one. But I think if it were on BAT, it would easily bring over 100. I don't know if he's going to get 130 for it with that kind of miles. This car could easily get 130 if it didn't have those couple of things that were a problem.
See, you say all these nice things, and now I'm regretting changing my $119,000 bid. But let's see what happens, JP.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's find out right after this. Hey guys, I got to tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. And welcome to the future. Check it out. We've got an expert in the house, a third nerd on the back half of this episode of Bid Nerds. Lucky Lopez is joining us from the Lucky Lopez YouTube channel. He's a big deal. Check out his channel. Everyone that's watching this is going, well, duh, check out his channel. We knew who he was. Saying to check out his channel, that's ridiculous. We already know who he is. He's a big deal. Lucky Lopez, what's up, dude?
No, thank you so much for having me. I know we've had a blast, and I talk a lot on your channel, so I'm trying to keep it short, but I am super excited to see how bad I ruined these numbers for this next video.
Don't keep it short. People come around, they're like, what? Oh, finally reason to watch the whole thing. So thanks for hanging out with us. All right, let's get to the results of this really, really pretty 1990 C2 Coupe. Deep, can you give us a quick reminder of what this car was? I know if you're watching this show, you just saw this, you know, 30 seconds ago, but since we have a guest in the house, let's give him some info so he can kind of throw his bit at us too.
What we're looking at on Bring a Trailer is an unmodified, totally stock 1990 Porsche 911 Carrera two-wheel drive with a five-speed manual. Our car is special because it's got 26,000 original miles offered out of Happy Valley, Oregon. Really interesting, Lucky, as you know, not just Singer, but everybody out there that wanted to make a Porsche reimagined were grabbing 964s and chopping them up to make their version of what they think the ultimate air-cooled car would be. So the idea to find a two-wheel drive, manual transmission, low-mileage car that hasn't been either modified, wrecked, or already, you know, modified into something completely different becomes a rare occasion. Now, our car is a little bit vanilla. There's no limited slip differential, no sport seats. It's just guards red over black interior. And it's an early version sitting on the 16-inch Design 90 wheels. Our car was sitting at, as I read this back to you, $51,000 when we looked at it 4 days before it was to close. So I guessed $109,000, and JP took the over at $110,000. Which is usually rare because JP is always the more pragmatic one and usually takes the under. So I thought I was in big trouble when he took the over. What's your quick guess on this 1990 C2 coupe with 26,000 miles? What number would you put on a car like that today?
I'd have to say 96. I'm going to lowball because the way the body looked and the damage, and then, like you said, it's literally the baseline model Porsche you can get. So I'm going to say 96. I'm praying to God somebody didn't overpay that. If they did, wow. But we'll have to see. Hopefully someone.
Are you a fan of Porsche 964s? Do you know much about them? I know that you were kind of into the 80s 911s and you did a bunch of mods and stuff.
I think there's a more important take there, JP. Are you saying you think this car has been hit? Because the door certainly looks like it's a slightly different color. Is that what you're looking at? What are you saying?
I didn't catch that. He was talking about remember there was a couple of gashes, a couple of scrapes.
Yeah,
the door didn't look different fender. There was just those scrapes that had bad touch-up paint.
For anything over 80K, it's got to be clean. And to me, that just looks like somebody got like a base 911, whatever their last factory allocation was, and just gave it to somebody, and somebody drove around for 26,000 miles and probably just left it in their garage. So to me, this doesn't look like a collector's item. I'm still saying 96, but like I said, if they paid over that, I'll be extremely shocked.
All right, so JP, our guest host, is sniffing a Yahtzee because our car sold for $97,000 on 22 bids. You missed it by a grand.
Solid.
Beating the bid nerds at their own game. Great guess, my friend. John, I think this will be my last show to the Nerd Herd. It was really nice knowing you. Lucky Lopez, good luck with your new show and your new partner. I'm happy.
You know, Lucky, the thing about Lucky is that, I mean, talk about Lucky. I mean, your name, good Lord, it's right there in his name. You're so wrong on the take on this car, but you're so right on the number. That's what's so funny. Like 964's base model, you know, non-done up cars are the ones that everybody wants. The more options it has, the less people want it when it comes to air-cooled 911s. That's what's so weird about them, and particularly with the 964s, especially because so many people are taking them and modding them into either Singers or backdate cars or whatever, or just cleaning them up. You know, I think the thing about 964s particularly is that you want fewer stuff on them because everything's going to break anyway.
It goes back to the thing we talked about in one of your last episodes. Is the more analog it is, the more desirable it is.
Yeah.
Less
the Cobra R.
The more. Yeah. It's like everybody absolutely loves these things. So, I mean, to me, I'll be honest, I'm not a fan. I'd rather get something a little bit newer to have fun and rip it. But, like, this car right here, for what they got, the 97 grand, good for them. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Because I think in 9 months, they won't get anything close to that.
Yeah.
Well, despite our pragmatic guest host, I'm still surprised this car didn't bring more money. I'm shocked that a super low mile C2 manual didn't break $100,000. And the only thing I could chalk it up to is that there were no special options on this car at all. And it's the most probably vanilla Guards Red black interior car that they could produce. If this car, JP, were some weird shade of green or blue or whatever, or a gray, can you imagine if it was just a gray metallic, I think this car would have brought $25,000 more money than it did. What do you think about that?
I think this car, look, I mean, we see, you know, 90,000 mile 964s in beautiful shape bring $120 and $130. I mean, that's still happening on the forums and on other places on the auctions. I think this car, you know, we talked about before the break, is that you've got some dumb little problems. You know, those scratches, those gashes, those inch long scratches that were touched up, you know, had touch up paint that looks like someone used lipstick or something like that. Spend a couple of $1,000 and get a pro. Lucky you, you know, you probably know a million guys like that here in Las Vegas. There's guys all over the dealerships that go around and fix these little problems and make it look like new. You don't need to repaint the whole quarter panel. Red is a fairly easy color to match. It's not as bad as like silver or some other colors. I think with just a little bit of work, better photos, just a overall better, a better presentation of this car, a little bit of romance for this thing, and people would have come out of the woodwork. I mean, a 20-something thousand mile 964 is the bee's knees. People want that car.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of $2,500 costing them $25,000.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have costed that much.
Bravo.
Get some PDR done, paint it, polish the whole thing up, get a professional photographer to do great, great touch-ups, do really great videos, great pictures. But like I said, he winded up just going cheap on it, thinking that the originality and the miles would actually sell it, where, you know, like I said, he got good money for it, but to get that top dollar, especially like, I mean, if you're going through the headache of going on like Cars and Bids, bring a trailer, you got to bring your A game.
Yeah.
Every car on there, there's people out there spending thousands. Like I spent a couple $100 on photography. I know friends of mine that spent thousands, rented locations, right, hired dry ice cleaner detailers to go through the whole car 2 hours before it's filmed. Like just crazy stuff like that. So that's the kind of level you're competing with. So this just lets me know that the guy was just like, just kind of fell into this. I don't think he probably was a true collector. He just somebody that had this, got one, and just ready to sell it while the market was still hot.
For sure.
Yeah.
That is good takeaway. $2,500 cost you $25,000, man. Listen to Lucky. He knows what he's talking about. Guys, what do you think of the results of this 964? Was this thing stolen? Is that the right number? Or is the market crashing? Is that the end? Is the sky falling right now? 964s aren't worth anything anymore. Let us know in the comments below. We loved it. Michael Deeb, are you going to get in there and you're going to do some comment? Are you going to get in there and talk to the Nerd Herd?
Why do you hate the
Nerd Herd so much?
I love the herd.
He loves
the herd.
Maybe Lucky will go into the comments and make fun of us.
Lucky's busy. Oh, yeah, he's got real shows to do.
Well, you got to make sure you tune into one of our last videos, whatever it's when we did the pie contest.
Yes.
So best believe I'll be in the comments of that
yes.
when he takes a pie in the face.
Yeah, actually, that's going to be, if the way people are watching this, that's going to be a future video. So, because this is the back half. It's the problem with having time machines, man. You screw up the timeline. You wind up in this alternate universe, and you can't remember where you are. It's
time-space conundrum.
This show is so dumb.
Yeah.